This morning being Christmas Day, I want to consider Mary, not actually the person who she was bearing, but Mary as an individual. And in verse 28 we read, speaking of Mary, we read the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." I once watched a cartoon with that played and depicted the typical mother. It showed this mother coming into her house. Her hair was all over the place. Her kids were running everywhere. The house, it had certainly seen better days. Her husband, then, he came in from work. And he was dressed neatly. He was dressed to the high do. He was wearing his suit and his tie. His shoes were newly polished. He was looking spick and span. And as he stopped at the door, and he then entered into his porch, he saw the house, he saw his wife, he saw his children wandering everywhere throughout the house. He took one look at her, and she took one look at him. The questions, they began to swim around in his mind. And the wife, of course, she knew exactly what he was thinking. And before he could get a word in edgeways, the wife turned to him and said, "You come home every evening, you ask what I've been doing all day. Well, here it is, I didn't." And the mother, she then began to break down. Their husband, knowing that she was under pressure, he reached into his briefcase and he brought out a lovely bouquet of flowers and a box of chocolates. And he gave them to his wife. And he said to him, "Here you are, dear. These are for you. You're a mother in a million." And coming into this chapter, we are met by another mother in a million. For here in Luke chapter 1 and also in Luke chapter 2, we are met by Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you take a quick scan through Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, you quickly get a picture of Mary, that she was most definitely a mother in a million. Now, if you were to look at her through the eyes of society, there was nothing special about her. She was a very humble lady. She didn't have much of a home, it seems. There was nothing really that stands out about her. But whilst there was nothing that stood out about her through the eyes of society, yet through the eyes of God, she was definitely a mother in a million. And here we find God in Luke chapter 1. He comes to Mary and he acts in grace and in mercy. And he takes this ordinary, run-of-the-mill, everyday mother, or Jewish girl, and he chose her to be the bearer of his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, towards man, God is absolutely righteous, but he is also totally gracious. And as God came and chose Mary, just an ordinary, everyday woman, and chose her to be the bearer of his Son, so I believe God, he is doing the same today. The same not in the sense that he chooses out men to carry and give birth to his Son, but in a sense he chooses out men, he chooses out women, he chooses everyday, ordinary individuals, and in grace and in favour, he calls them to be the carriers or the bearers of his Son. Oh, if you're a Christian today, see yourself like Mary. See yourself as just an ordinary individual who has received grace. Who has received grace, and you're now the carrier, you're now the bearer of Jesus Christ. You say to me, "How am I the bearer of Christ?" Well, you're the bearer of Christ in many ways, but you think of how you bear his name, how you bear his character, how you are the bearer of Jesus Christ. Indeed, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we read in verse 14 of that chapter, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." The word "happy" here, it simply means blessed. And Peter here, he writes to Christians under pressure. And what does he say to them? Well, he says, "You're blessed." You're blessed. Why? Because you bear the name of Jesus Christ. You see, in Christ, the believer is not barren, but rather the believer is immeasurably blessed. If you bear the name or person of Jesus Christ, then like Mary, you're highly favoured. You're blessed. You're blessed to be the bearer, blessed to be the carrier of the Son of God. Oh, see yourself like Mary today. An individual who's received favour. An individual who God in His sovereign purpose has selected. Has selected to be the carrier of His Son. That's just what Mary was. Mary was just an ordinary, run-of-the-mill individual. And God came to her in grace. And God came to her in mercy. And He chose her to be the bearer of His Son. And so I want this morning, very simply, to consider Mary, the person chosen to bear Christ. Mary, the person chosen to bear Christ. And just take her as a picture of the Christian as we bear Christ in society. Notice here, firstly, her humility. Her humility. In verse 38, we read, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." The Greek word for handmaid here, it is the feminine word for slave. Mary here, she saw herself as a handmaid in the sense that she saw herself as a mere servant or slave of God. In Bible times, slaves were noted for their obedience, their humility, and also their submission to their master. And so Mary here, whenever she was told that she was going to bear the Son of Jesus Christ, she was extremely humbled. She was extremely taken back. She couldn't believe that God had sovereignly chosen her out of the ranks of society to be the bearer of her Son. And she simply responded to the grace that she had been shown by submitting herself to her Lord. We read in this verse, she said to the angel Gabriel, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And here we find that she simply submitted to the God who had shown her such favour. She couldn't understand how. She couldn't understand why God had chosen her. There was nothing special about her. And so she simply submitted to the one who had chosen her to bear His Son. She simply saw herself as a servant to the Most High God. And having experienced the selection of God, the Christian is then to exhibit submission to God. In Christ, like Mary, you have been sovereignly elected. You have been sovereignly selected to bear the name of Jesus Christ. But this shouldn't puff us up or puff you up, but rather it should humble you. It should make you, like Mary, submit yourself, resignate yourself, resign yourself to the God who has shown you such grace. Like Mary, submit yourself to God. See yourself as but a humble slave, a humble handmaid, a humble servant to the God who has chosen you. You remember the young Moabitess Ruth, how she left Moab and she entered Israel, how she was a stranger in the land, she had come from a foreign country, and also how she had lost her husband and lost her father as well. Nothing really seemed to be going well for her. But as she entered into Bethlehem, she found herself labouring in a very wealthy man's field. This man turned out to be her kinsman redeemer. And as their redeemer saw her labouring in his field, we find then that he took knowledge of her. And he actually said to Ruth, he said to her, "If you're thirsty, you can drink at the fountain that my workers drink from." She was a stranger, she was a foreigner. This was something that she didn't deserve. And when she was told this, we read in Ruth 2, verse 10, we read that she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And she simply bowed before her kinsman redeemer, the one who had showed her favour, the one who had showed her grace. You see, in bearing the name of Christ, we need to then bow before Christ. Being like Mary and recognising that you are but a handmaid who's been highly favoured of God. Oh, there was nothing in you. There was nothing in you to commend yourself to the God of heaven. Within is all within yourself. There's sin. There's depravity. There's nothing that could have commended you to God. It was all of grace. It was all of grace. That God should ever save an individual like you, it was all of grace. And a wonder like Mary, have you that wonder? Have you that amazement? Have you that awe that God should ever act in grace, such grace, and save a wretch like you, and show such mercy to you? You know John Newton, he stated that whenever every Christian enters heaven, they'll be confronted with three wonders. He said, you'll wonder at some people who were there who you thought wouldn't, who were there. You'll also wonder at those who aren't there who you thought would be there. And then he said, you'll wonder at the fact that such a wretch like you would ever be there. And child of God, there needs to be that wonder. That wonder, that awe, that amazement. That like Mary, you've been chosen to bear the name of Christ. You've been chosen, selected, elected. You've been chosen. Chosen in grace. Oh, Mary, she responded. She just saw herself as a handmaid. She saw herself as a servant of God. Her humility. Notice secondly here, her depravity. Her depravity. In verse 47, we read, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." Notice there that Mary, even though the child Jesus was still in her womb, Mary called Christ her Saviour. Mary would have only needed a saviour if she was a sinner. If Mary had never sinned, then Mary would never have needed to be saved from her sin. So in calling Christ her saviour, she was simply showing her depravity. She was showing that she was a sinner. However, in 1854, the Roman Catholic Church announced their belief in Mary's Immaculate Consumption. And this was simply the teaching that whenever Mary was giving birth to Christ, she was absolutely sinless. They state, and I quote, "The most blessed Virgin Mary was preserved as immaculate." In other words, they were saying that she was preserved as sinless, that she never committed a sin in her life. You even read through the dogmas of Rome, and they gave her the attribute of impeccability. That not only means that she didn't sin, but it means that she couldn't have sinned. Of course, there's only one who couldn't have sinned. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. If this isn't enough to prove that she was a sinner, as we have been reading here in verse 47, in verse 24 of chapter 2, after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary then, she went up to the temple. And what did she do? She offered a sin offering. After she gave birth to her son, all Jews, and like Mary, she was no exception here, they were rendered ceremonially unclean. And so she needed to offer a sin offering, and we find that she did this in verse 24 of Luke chapter 2. She had to offer two turtle doves or two pigeons to cover her ceremonial uncleanness. The point I'm trying to make here is this. That yes, verse 28 of chapter 1 says she was highly favoured amongst women. And we don't dispute that. God, he did favour her. He chose her to bear his son. But that does not mean that Mary wasn't sinless. It's the exact opposite. Mary was just like every individual in this world. Mary was a sinner who needed a saviour. Mary, she was a sinner who had experienced God's favour in being chosen to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. And as opposed to teaching the Immaculate Conception, the Bible teaches the miraculous conception. It very simply teaches that whenever, in verse 35, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and wrought upon her substance, and the child Jesus appeared in her womb, it teaches that Christ was the sinless one, and that this was a miracle. This was like no ordinary birth in society. It was a miraculous conception. Mary, she miraculously gave birth to a sinless Saviour. But like Mary, you're not sinless. You are a sinner. And you're in need of a Saviour. Like Mary, you need to raise up, as it were, that song, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." I wonder this morning, I wonder, are you a Christian? Or I wonder, do you see yourself as needing the favour of God? Do you see yourself as a sinner like Mary, in need of a Saviour? Indeed, in Romans 3, verse 12, we read, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And the phrase here, "become unprofitable," in the Greek it means to be like sour milk, or to be spoiled. And Paul here, speaking of man, how does he describe man? He described man as stinking in the nostrils of God. Just as sour milk would stink in your nostrils and give off a bad smell, so because of your sin, you give off a bad smell before the nostrils of God. And so you're seen before God as rotten or spoiled and in need of a Redeemer. And as man appears rotten before God, so he needs the redemption of God. He needs the Redeemer that Mary gave birth to. You need the redemption that's solely and exclusively found in Jesus Christ, the one who was born and the one who lived a perfect life and died that death in your room and in your stead, the one who was preserved as sinless, not only during his birth but throughout his life, so that he could die as a Saviour in your place, as a sinless Saviour, and present you as faultless and sinless before God. Oh, you ever wondered how you're presented as sinless before God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes his sinless humanity and he gives it to you. And in turn, you give to him your sin and you place it on him, and it was placed on him at the cross of Calvary. Oh, you need, like Mary, you need a Saviour. You need a Saviour. You need a Saviour from sin. You know, years ago, there was a lady who attended a preaching service at Manhattan Rescue Mission in New York. And afterwards, she was in line for some soup. And she mentioned to the preacher she was ready to become a Christian. She said, "I never knew until today my name's in the Bible." The preacher, wondering what, of course, she was talking about, he said, "Well, where was your name in the Bible reading that I gave today?" And she said, in Luke 15, verse 2, we read, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And she pointed to the word "sinner," and she said, "That's my name. I'm a sinner and I need a Saviour." And oh, do you see yourself like that this morning? As named before God a sinner in need of a Saviour. Mary, her humility, her depravity. But notice thirdly here, her testimony. In verse 26, we read, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The city of Nazareth, it was a very big city. In the Greek, there are two words for city. One has the idea of a small village, and the other has the idea of a larger city. And the word used here is conveying the idea of a very large city indeed. Nazareth was a large city. And remember, this is where Mary and Joseph lived. And not only where they lived, but where Christ actually would have spent the majority of his earthly life. The city of Nazareth, it was 70 miles north of Jerusalem. And it was also a similar distance south of the cities of Tyre and Sidon. So it was basically in the middle of two very busy cities. And we find that as it was in the middle, people, they would be travelling from one to the other, and they would stop in this city, the city of Nazareth. And so it became a hotbed of sin and corruption. Roman soldiers often stayed there. Greek merchants stayed there. Jewish priests, they often travelled the highway and would have stopped off for a night there. G. Campbell Morgan stated concerning Nazareth that Nazareth was probably one of the most corrupt towns to be found in all of the region at that time. You again remember Philip? What did he ask in John 1:46? He asked, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Let's get this straight, folks. Nazareth was a very corrupt, a very wicked place to live. Yet this is where Mary and Joseph lived. This is where Mary, the bearer of Christ, lived. And yes, Christ was born in Bethlehem. But in this portion, the angel appeared to Mary in Nazareth. He appeared to Mary in her home turf. And Mary, she therefore lived in a very wicked city while she bore and while she raised the baby Jesus Christ. And like Mary, you've been chosen to bear the name of Christ in a dark city, not a bright city. Oh, like Mary, you've been chosen and selected to bear the name of Christ in a very difficult and dark city, spiritually speaking. But I believe Mary, she was a bright light in Nazareth. We're told here that she was a chaste woman, that she was a virgin. She kept herself pure and unspotted from the society around her. Also, Joseph here is described as a just man. Here's a couple who walked with God in the midst of a difficult and a dark city. And just like Mary and Joseph, he wants you to be that burning and shining light. He wants you to be shining for him, bearing the name of Christ in this dark city of Londonderry. Indeed, in Philippians 2 verse 15, we're told that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Paul here, he wrote to believers again in a city, the city of Philippi. And how did he describe Philippi? He said it was a crooked and perverse nation. And how were the Christians there to respond to that? They were to respond by shining as lights in the world. The word shining there, or the word light there, in the Greek it refers to a lighthouse that is set on the edge of a coast. And of course, a lighthouse, even no matter how dark it is, a lighthouse can be seen for many, many miles. You see, rather than being a darkened cave, the Christian is to be a lighthouse. He is to be a lighthouse shining for many, many miles in the dark ocean of society. Oh, are you a bearer of Christ this morning? Well, then let me ask you, are you beaming? Are you beaming brightly? Like Mary, are you standing out for him in the midst of a difficult situation? Are you bright and burning for Christ in this dark and evil time? You know, in the 1840s, John Getty, he left a church in Canada with his wife and two children, and they went to be missionaries in the South Sea Islands. The South Sea Islands was a very hard place to go and labour. Just before they went to be missionaries, there was a boat that was shipwrecked on that island. 20 men were in that boat, and the whole island they savagely murdered and ate those men. It was a very hard place to labour. But as the Geddes went into the South Sea Islands, they got to know people. They learned the language. They started churches. They translated the Bible into their language. And one by one, the Lord built his church in that place. And you know, as he was leaving labour, and after many years labouring in that place, they placed a plaque on one of the pulpits in the church. And it states, when John Getty landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. In 1872, when he left, there were no heathen here. And yes, it might be difficult to live for Christ and to be that burning and shining light for Christ here, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Like Mary, we can have a good testimony. We can bear Christ. We can shine brightly for him. Her humility, her depravity, her testimony. But notice lastly here, her study. In verse 29, we read she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The verb cast in her mind here, in the Greek it was used of shops or of marketplace stalls that would count their inventory. You know, if you work in a shop, you do your end of your stock take, you count through every single item, you make sure every single item is accounted for. Well, that's the thought here. Mary, she, as it were, she took a stock take in her mind. She played every single fact over in her mind. She played over the fact that the angel Gabriel, he had come and he had told her about the fact that she would give birth to Christ. She played over in her mind the fact that she was highly favoured, that she had experienced favour from God. And so she began to play all of these things and think about it thoroughly in her mind. And having received mercy from Christ, we are then to meditate upon Christ. Meditate and contemplate the fact that, like Mary, you've been highly favoured. Oh yes, you were a sinner. Oh yes, you are a sinner. And oh yes, there was nothing really special about you. There was nothing that commended you to God. But oh, I wonder, are you taking that end of year stocktake? Are you having that end of year stocktake? Are you playing it over in your mind like Mary? Are you meditating? Are you contemplating upon the fact that Christ has been so good to you? God has highly favoured you. Are you thinking it over in your mind and contemplating this fact? You know, as you discover and you read more of Mary, the life of Mary in the Bible, you find that she was always at this type of thing. She was always thinking about and pondering the Lord Jesus Christ. Again in Luke 2:19, when the shepherds came and they came to the stable as he was born, we read in Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the verb pondered here, it means to set facts side by side or to weigh them up together. And again, we find that as the shepherds came, and as the shepherds began to publish abroad the thought of the Saviour's being born, she pondered it. She set all of the facts side by side, and she thought about the one she had just given birth to. And as well as being the bearer of Christ, the Christian is to be a ponderer of Christ. Like Mary, we're to contemplate. We are to think, we are to meditate upon the thought, the fact that Christ was born, that he lived, that he died, that he's now ascended, and he has selected us. Oh, how favoured, how merciful God has been to you today. He has selected you to bear his name. Like Mary, you have been chosen to bear Christ. And I trust that even at this Christmas day, that you will see yourself just like Mary. Just a handmaid. Just a slave. Just a servant of God who's been shown tremendous favour. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives this morning. We'll close our service in a word of prayer.